15, first Mark chapter 15. Many of you don't know this, probably, but I've been speaking to Mark. This is where I'm at. For a moment, an introduction of the context and what the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst of. But I just want to read our two verses for the day. Mark chapter 15, verses 34 and 35. 34 and 35. Our Savior is on the cross of Calvary in Mark chapter 15, and we'll read verses 34 and 35. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The woman that stood by with a critic said, "Behold, he calls for Elijah." Father, we would ask that you would tune our hearts to the word of the Lord. Father, that we would need and grow. Father, that we would have no distraction before us. And wholly concentrate on what you would have us to glean and grow concerning the person, your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would bless us this morning in the reading and the preaching and the comprehension of your word. Pray in your Son's name. Many years ago, I think 2009, to be exact, my family purchased the house that we still live in. My son Eli was not yet born. I guess that was different opportunities because Eli, my second child, was born April 3rd, 2009, and we were already in the house. He was born on the 3rd. 3 decades and 3 minutes apart. And my wife was not induced, it just came that way. The minute that I was born, I could have negotiated with my wife, although I don't think she was in any way to negotiate. Maybe I could have forged the document. Literally, 3 decades and 3 minutes before, maybe a month or two before April 3rd, things were a few of you have been there. Newly renovated before we bought. In 2009, the economy was not good. There's a lot of issues, and this house has been renovated. I think we got a good deal on it then, and I think we got a very good deal on it looking back. But one of the things that was renovated is that on the back wall, the corner of the living room, has these beautiful windows. And they're not cheap windows. I would have never paid for those windows. The blind window. You ever seen this? I've never seen this. And it's got the roll down window. Here you go. You might have seen this. Do you remember when we used to roll down the windows down in the 80s in the car, like these cramped windows there and you roll down? Here you go. What happens is you can actually pull out the knob and roll these windows. And the screens come down. Like we just told you to do. Rains come down and the windows go out to me. Like, we just crank these windows and on the perfect day, you can crank these windows and you can bring these screens down. Where the screen comes down, but where the screen comes down, the window comes out. And on a rainy day, it's a tremendous place to have one because that air flows in the back of the house and, you know, you get the creature sound, like the birds are chirping. I mean, it could be a very nice place. I remember, a few months after Eli was born, Sally and I, and at that time, we were children, we were just sitting there having a normal look. I guess it happened a lot more back then, we were sure. But we were there, the windows rolled out, and the screen came out, enjoying probably a very good lunch with our two children, and thinking, something happened, this is not an exaggeration, that I will never in my life forget. What happened in the midst of our lunch is that a woman, two houses down, I didn't know that, a woman, two houses down, began screaming. I remember the very first thought I had was that the woman is being assaulted at this moment. I have never a woman made such sentence in my life. before or after. And the tone of what he said really stuck with me. And I can, if I want to close my eyes, hear it in the back of my mind, even to this day, I really want to speak by God. Jesus said these words, "Help me. Someone help me. I need it. Please. Someone help me." I mean, I don't want you, but especially in Pleasantville. Looking at my wife and my wife looking at me, and I remember taking off. I had no knowledge of what to do, and I knew what I was doing. What had happened was that this woman had a vaulted ceiling in her garage, and she had storage up at the top where you could actually crawl up and pull out Christmas decorations and things like that. And so my next door neighbor was a little limited. Was probably 12, 15 feet in the air, and all of that night with a broken leg. It was supposed to see. And my wife has a medical background, and we were calling her, and she was asking questions, and I was thinking, "Why are you asking questions? We need the ambulance here again." We were calling out when we were getting, I remember when we were getting the ambulance. So a lovely lady, by the way, a friend of ours, from the chapel in Greensboro. And I just remember kneeling and holding her hand in prayer because the pain was evident. Growing up, my father had a nickname for me, and I alluded to it this morning. In the South, that most of us in this room are accustomed to, the terminology boy is a derogatory term. Boy, derogatory term. In my household, in the 80s, 1979, my father's nickname for me was the bull. And never, Doug, was it a derogatory word. It was not a derogatory word. I think that if you don't know the truth, many of you here might have been here. I think he wanted a boy, and when he had a boy, he was just happy that he had a boy. He was just in the middle of his bed. He was born a boy. He was born a boy. And so, when he came, in my family, the band before, my sister, became known as the boy. It's my fault. It's the boy from school. It's the boy that was hungry. Where's the boy? Where's the boy? Where's the boy? And I love, as it were, to grow up in the 80s and to be the boy. And I think it's true in a lot of families. To an extent, maybe you know the apple of my foes, and we would fall and go. We just played catch with your father. We played all the time. That was not. We didn't know what that was. Baseball, we knew. My dad grew up down east of North Carolina with the 93-5 league through baseball. It was pretty good. But it was a good time. He loved me, and he'll be 70. He'd be 79, 16. I was going to tell him, he'll come into our house. And he'll say, "Boy, do you want to watch a ball game?" He'll revert back, not much. But from time to time, maybe three or four times a year, it'll come out of his mouth like it always did. "Boy, you want to get something to eat?" Now, that said, when my father gave me the double, it meant something different. Did he often give me the double? Yes, he did. But when he gave me the double, and the tone was a big part of it. But whenever he gave me the double, it was never something near me, but it was often something that made my antennas go up, knowing my father called it. Maybe he never called for me. He would say it right there. What? Did I tell you the difference? Did you speak to your mother? Boy, have you heard your father's instructions? I do. Something was amiss. Well, Jesus comes, gives us the devil. Your antennas need to go. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ gives you the double. Stop. Pray. Lord, what are you trying to teach us? Lord, what are you trying to say? When you read the double, can stay, pray, and meditate. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not just speaking. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us the double. Let me go through a few examples so that we're perfectly clear on what I'm talking about. I'm going to write these down. I won't turn to them because I got 29 minutes and I've got a long way to go. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord speaks and he says this, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I don't have time to preach Acts chapter 9, but I will say this. You might think to yourself, why does the Lord say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He's persecuting the church. He's persecuting the believers. Stop persecuting the Lord. Be careful how you deal with the Lord's people. I'm not asking if they deserve it. I'm not asking if their behavior, if their heart, if their motive. I'm telling you that we already have an accuser of the brethren. We don't need another. Be careful how you deal with the Lord's people. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I have time to teach on that passage. To preach from Luke's gospel. From Luke's gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, on several different occasions, gives us the double. You see, Martha is busy, and she's anxious. And according to the scripture, she's got many things to do. She's serving. And praise the Lord for that. But she has a sister, Mary, who's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, literally, when you read the context in Luke's gospel, hanging on every word, adoring and exalting and loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And she says, as we often do, to the Lord, are you going to do this? Are you aware? Are you in tune? Do you understand the responsibility of the things that I have, Lord? Do you understand what I need to do? What I need to do? And my sister is sitting at your feet. Here again comes the devil. Martha, Martha, you're anxious about me, and you're consumed, as it were, with your servant. But your sister Mary, she has chosen something better. Praise the Lord for us that serve. I've heard this term, this derogatory term, many times in my life about Martha. Oh, she's a Martha. She's a Martha. She's a server. She's a Martha. Almost every time I've ever heard someone say that, I think to myself, are you a Mary? I don't think you're a Mary or a Martha. You're completely the Lord's people, and you're calling your Lord. Are you a Martha? Are you Mary? Who are you? I need that. You shouldn't hear me. See, that's me. If you want to be reminded yet again, pray to the Lord for those who serve. Who will be greatest in the kingdom? Make yourself a servant. That's not the best part. The best part is to be at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, consumed with his words, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. It's effectively the second time I've said it today. You see, every time the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the double, we ought to listen. We ought to listen anyway. We ought to be hanging with anywhere. But when my father said, boy, boy, the antennas went, every time you read the double, stop, think, camp, meditate, spend a week, it's fine. Satan. Satan is a man. You know, Peter actually withstood the Lord Jesus Christ in the face on two occasions. Remember the Lord told him you're going to deny him three times before the cock crowed. Simon, Son, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Study these things. Note when he calls him Peter, and his actions, and his heart, and his motive. And then note when the Lord calls him Simon. Note what he's doing, where his mind is, where his heart is. Note these things. It's like your mother, when she called you by your middle name. Said, my mother said, Stephen Bennett Harold. See those three words? Remember those? Yeah. I'm going to go on this outfit. Stephen Bennett Harold. You had to come to me. When she was the middle name. I knew the Lord was you. Note in the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus Christ called to me, and when the Lord Jesus Christ called to me, he changed his name. Mark chapter 8. After he changes his name, note when he speaks to me. These are things to study. The double is all around us. It's not a perfect double, but it might be the greatest of them. Luke chapter 22, somewhere around verse 14 or 15. I think it's verse 15. King Sayer. The Lord would say this. He would say, with desire, I have desired to take this stuff with you. Voice. It echoes. It echoes in me. Sitting down with this loved one, sitting down with those dove that he had poured his life into for 3 years. And he simply makes this little statement, a double, if you were, inside the verse. With desire, I have desire to take this supper with you before I suffer. John chapter 3, just take the notes. John chapter 3, you should know this one. If you want to turn there, that's fine. Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ at night. I've been taught, and I believe, he came at night so that no one would see him. He said, Lord Peter, do you know how many nights? Do you know how many times in my life? I have been in my driveway at 1 o'clock in the morning communing with him. Maybe he's not like me. Maybe Nicodemus was a really wise one. Maybe it's all about the fact that he's like God to you. My mind, oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes in my mind, is consumed with food. And I have questions, and I have scripture, and I have things constantly rolling through my mind. I don't get needed for him at 12 in the morning. Only if he calls me at 1 o'clock in the morning. And he looks at Nicodemus, and he says this in verse 3. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. How many times in Scripture does the Lord have to give us the double? How many times, Caleb, does the Lord and how he communicates need to be seen? How many times in Scripture does he say, like he does in John 5, and constantly throughout the Scriptures, how many times at important moments, at moments that we should know, moments to lay down the doctrine, moments to show the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, moments to teach us what is important to the Savior, how many times does he give us the double? Yeah, say to you. You must be there. Scripture. In Mark chapter 15, do not read fast. But when you read, Eloi, Eloi, stop. Because I know that there were some important things to learn in Acts chapter 9, and in Luke chapter 10, and in Luke chapter 15, and in John chapter 3. We didn't cover John chapter 5 or many of the doubles. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ says it twice, you stop. Whenever Jesus Christ speaks twice, whenever he gives us the double, you need to know it. And you need to know how he communicates, how he speaks. And so as we read the scriptures and as we come to this verse, in Mark's gospel, as he's on the cross of Calvary, as he's giving his life a ransom for many, as he exchanged the blood of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and woman, crying with a loud voice, as he did in the tomb of Lazarus. Eloi! Eloi!
That's all I know. I know that already. And they can't be here for a while because Jesus Christ gives us yet another. Don't miss it in your study from now. Don't miss it. I want us to turn, if we could, to Luke's gospel. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. One of the things, some of the young men in my life, teach me, Richie likes to say to her, that guy. But we have to teach young men to note the patterns of the communication of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like to them. There are many. But we have to know them and see them and study them out. Here in Luke chapter 15, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he makes a statement, the context is given. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, then drew near unto him all the tax collectors and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. Now, maybe I have been I can't remember. I have to look where I'll be the next week. So I can't remember what I'm studying where, but one of the things that I want to say is that studying the Bible, few things encourage me more than the words of those that hate. I'm going to say that now. Few things, they threw a kicker. Few things encourage me more than the words of those who hate him. Luke chapter 15 and verse 2 says this, and the Pharisees and scribes were saying, this man was these sinners, and he is the Lord of that. He's the Lord of that. You see me go with me? All I've got to do is read the word of those that hate him. I'll give you another example. While he was on the cross of Calvary, didn't they say? You know what they said? This is what they said to him. This man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, while he had suffered, this man saved others. He said, no, the Lord. Steve Grimber, this man saved others. I don't know. It's 3 years. If there has been one suffer, not two of you, one of you, we break bread at 4 o'clock. I think the last 3 years that thought has not crossed my mind in every single Lord's sermon. The fact that his enemies looked at him and testified, listen to him. This man, speaking of the Savior, this man, he saved others. Yes, he did. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for the words of those that hated him. But as we look at the communication of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to pull yourself into context. You've got to understand what's actually happening. Because here in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, the Lord Jesus Christ isn't teaching yet. The Lord Jesus Christ is not speaking yet. The Lord Jesus Christ hears and understands that these Pharisees are murmuring, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. And he doesn't stop them and convert. An exchange between them and then go into the parables. You understand that this was confusing to many because here the Lord Jesus Christ, he comprehends, he knows, he understands what is being said of him, and then he just goes into these parables. Right? I mean, it's not as if he goes, you think I deserve it. Okay, there's a parable for you. No. He understands what's going on. Many that will only be the same one that day. Many that will be the same one that day. They're just grabbing their hope in the parable. He's talking about a sheep.
Lost sheep.
Well, Father,
I lost one. And now I lost them. And then it gets into that
parable. We see in Luke's gospel
that though we love the parable of the prodigal son, maybe it's not even that second son.
Because remember, his heart was not happy that the prodigal son had come and repented and beloved of the Father. He was not happy that there was healed. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we step back from the equation, if we step back from Luke chapter 15, and there were so many biblical lessons, not saying that there was people, there was food, there was something, and it was important, but it is other things from the context. In retrospect, from the enemy, how the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, it is very obvious that and he's pulling in this idea of his Pharisee, and that he knows that they have come in religion. They don't want the fact that Jesus Christ is spending time with us in heaven, and he's with them. And he's compared the heart and the mindset to this special son that in the parable of the promise. I want to tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I never knew while he was teaching the parable. Maybe you were that. Maybe we know what you're all over. There are many times when I speak two languages. It's more than I am. I promise. Many come on to me. I'm guarantee one thing. That's Jesus Christ preaching out the law, teaching the law, pointing the Bible, and then comparing the heart of the Pharisees to the Pharisees. I was never talking to them. Why would he get preaching? But he has to lay out this foundation. God, I'm not going to get this quickly. The scriptures are not written for you to know them, but us to read them. They're really not. Isn't that what we are learning and doing and learning from the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, let's be honest. I'm struggling. Let's be honest. We can go, should we need to, we can go to Luke chapter 6 today. We can go to Luke chapter 6 in this message. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. You he's God. We understand where the Lord Jesus Christ is going with that thought. But I want you to hear it in the context of John chapter 6. I want you to be there on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the mindset of these believers, the mindset of these Jews and these unbelievers, when Jesus Christ says, I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is this? And if you read the context of John chapter 6, many disciples left. Many followed him. What is that they didn't understand? Eat the flesh and drink. This guy, I understand. I know. Not a woman. What does that mean? Often when Jesus Christ communicates, he's speaking. It's true. Just like they said in John chapter 6. This is hard to see. What do you mean, Lord? What are you talking about? I think, let's be practical. Don't look at the scriptures like it's 2024. Read them as if the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. I was on the Sea of Galilee in July. Can't believe I'm saying that, but I was. Never thought I'd be there, but I was. Sea of Galilee, water skiing. They had jet skis out there. See again? What's on the Sea of Galilee? To the Sea of Galilee. Went to that very northern shore. It's somewhere on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, and I was probably in those fields, and you could sit on the boat, and your voice would echo. We were actually there, and Nate Ramson got down where the water meets the sea, and his voice boomed, and you could hear him half the valley away. But what if you loved your job? Honey, I'm going to leave for 2 days. Babe, I'm going to be gone for 2 days. I'm going to walk 20 miles in the Sea of Galilee to hear this man speak. I know we have bills, babe. I know we have debt to pay. I know that we need food and we need rent. But I'm going to leave for 2, maybe 3 days. I'm not going to be working. I don't know. I'm going to pay those bills, babe. But I'm going to go walk 20 miles in the rich. I'm going to hear this man teach because the entire nation is talking about him, and I'll be back. I'll be back in my 36 hours. I don't know how to pay that bill, but we'll figure it out. Maybe ask your parents. And then to walk 20 miles. You ever walk 20 miles? I don't know if any of you have, but it's not something we do. That can't pay it. Walk 20 miles to the Sea of Galilee. You don't want to be afraid to walk now. Many, many listen. And then it came to me and said, I'm going again. Speak about when you live in the home and see a gallery. Well, we got, I'll be honest, babe, we got some farmer talking about farming. And I just don't care. What do you mean? Spiritual sustenance. I don't know if you're going to go on your hope. I'm going to go on your faith. He said, but if you go right then, you go back later today and read in Mark chapter 4, you'll see something that is different. When he preached about the parables, those that wanted to know, those that were his disciples came back, somewhere around 9 or 10. Only got 8 minutes left, so stay with me. Somewhere around verse 9 or 10 of Mark chapter 4, his disciples come to him, and this is a big fear. This is important. His disciples come to him and just say a simple question. When we sit down with young men, when we open the scriptures, we have to preach, we have to teach, we have to say, you're not going to get this in 15 minutes. You're not going to understand the New Testament and the Old Testament and the beauties and the pearls and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you open your Bible 15 minutes in the morning and read down on that. Get this. You're not acting. Because that's exactly what they did in our report. And we don't see the new people saying, they were lost. They had no idea what was happening. In teaching the Lord to do. But when the disciples came back and said, Lord, Lord, does that make sense that you're doing nothing? We ain't think you're falling in. I don't know what you think. They want you to know. And then you need to get your life. And you need to pray that the Spirit of God to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to you. And you need to spend time with the Word of God. You will not get it in 15 minutes. You will not get it unless you devote yourself to the Word of the Lord. If you think that the Scripture is saying you have that because you ask me, if you think that that's a real force for get out of your Bible. This is understanding the truth of Jesus Christ. You will not know it, nor will you get it, until you devote yourself to the Scripture. That has always been true. And there is nothing in the Scriptures. Nothing. Why do you think he taught in Luke's Gospel with 23 parables? 24 parables. 23 in Matthew's gospel. Why did he do that? Because the folks that wanted him, the people that really wanted him, were to come to him and say, Lord, I need you to reveal to me. Lord, I need you to show me. If you seek him, if you want to know him, if you desire to know the doctrines and the truth of the true living God, he will reveal himself to those who seek him. And he will reveal himself as he always has, through the word. And in Mark chapter 15, and verse 33, 34, he gives us the double evil, not just an enemy. Let me remind you that you read the Bible in the context. Now, our Bible says, and the Bible that I'm doing, which is to say, my God, but there was no interpreter at the cross. He did not say, that's not what he said. He said, you are the one. And they understood him. If you knew Psalm 22 and you know the scriptures, then you understand what he said. And the scripture gives it to us. Well, there it is. We have the translation. We know the truth through our reading the scripture. He said, just like those that he here today, many of you in the scripture are teaching. And he can say, you know, you're coming here today. Let's see a lot. I'm challenging you today. If you need to know the truth, you're going to take the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to go to the office. We had another 45 minutes. We get something wrong. If you know something, you're saying, I'm not going to go into Psalm 22, although that's where the message should go. Shouldn't we have another 45 minutes? And I know who here is, well, take it. But there's a passage in Leviticus. Well, then it's 2 and 4, if you would write it, the meal law. And we read the Old Testament, I'm going to read it quickly. And when we read the Old Testament, we read all these teachings like meal offering, and it says in Leviticus that this meal offering was baked in a pan on top of the oven. And if you bake something in a pan on top of the oven, you could see it. You can wait for the door. There it is. There's the bacon. There's the chicken. And it's cooking. And you can see that the meal offering has 2 parts. One that's placed in a pan called a seed. And one, I mean, it's not like your mom's oven. Yeah. But we used the term light only with cookies. Remember that? You see, we're going to take this offering, and you're going to see some sacrifice. I'm going to open it as it were in the oven. We're going to put some old meal offering in the evolution. There's a part of this sacrifice that's going to be consumed. You're going to see it. Nor are you going to know it. Nor are you even going to be able to see a glimpse of what happened. And it haunts me because there is the cross of Calvary. And there is my Savior. And there is the beloved Son of God. And he's suffering. And you can see it after the world of hair. The nail of his hand. And his feet and his back. And the brown form. And his beaten and his feet. And I said to myself, I can see him in the water tree. I can see the consumption of the sacrifice. And then the whole thing. Report and through the studio and through the deep understanding of the scripture that Jesus raised as it were
But
sometimes we need to give thanks to the name of Jesus Christ, not just because we're willing. Praise the Lord that when he was angry.
Amen.
To understand and to know the doctrine in the New Testament, you better get busy learning. We can preach through it and we can talk through it. And I can say it with a loud voice through it. But I don't want to lose that. You would have been there at the foot of the cross. And you would have heard how the Savior said, Heal, wrong son. If you could have heard his voice, if you could have heard how he said it, you'd never, ever forget that. God in heaven, there is none like him. There is nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the moments of the hour proclaim with a loudness, evil, evil. Honest. Which is to say, in the midst of suffering, my God, why? I never said that. Father, there is no suffering before. And there is no salvation like the salvation of you want. Praise God for the name and work of Jesus. May his name be exalted forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What is the other